Welcome to the Procurement Software Podcast, where we aim to educate and inspire you about how technology is changing and shaping our profession. The truth is, there's never been a more exciting time to be in procurement, but only if you're one of those organizations that's embracing the change and driving new developments. And this podcast is all about giving you the tools to help you get there. So buckle up and let's get right into this week's show. Yes, hello and welcome to another episode of the Procurement Software Podcast. We are the official podcast of procurementsoftware.site, where you can search, filter, and find over 440 now procurement tech companies that we have listed on our website. So if you're a head of procurement or maybe a digital transformation manager and you're looking for clarity on all of the different solutions that are out there and you're perhaps a little bit confused as to the number of solutions and what they do, then we can help to clarify what is out there and get you down to a short list in less time than it takes to boil an egg. But today, my guest is a veteran procurement professional and also co-founder and COO of a procurement tech company. I'd like to welcome back regular guest on last series of the podcast, Mr. Ward Carson, COO of Raindrop. Ward, great to have you back.
Hey, great to see you, James. Thanks for hosting me. It's always a pleasure. And I believe I actually owe you an early happy birthday from the date this is actually getting recorded. So happy birthday.
Indeed. Yes, thank you. Yeah, I mean, this will actually go live a little bit after that. But yes, I'm going to be 23 times two in a few days' time from when we're recording this.
You're making me jealous, James. You're making me jealous.
So yes, we're going to be tackling a topic today. It's all about getting the basics right, isn't it? And there's a lot of talk about AI out there. And we're going to be talking about how to bridge the gap and look at some real use cases of AI in the source to pay process, because we often get blindsided by shiny object syndrome and the latest sexy product that comes out there into the marketplace. But we're going to go back to basics here. And I'd like to start, Ward, if we can, just by walking the difference between some of the terminology. So we've got RPA, robotic process automation, OCR, optical character recognition, and then we've got what I will call traditional AI, and then now generative AI, which, you know, in layman's terms is what powers ChatGPT. Can you break it down and just explain to me the difference, especially in a procurement technology or source to pay context, the difference between these four different terminologies?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's probably a great way to start. Hey, here's the shiny silver spoon, right? Let's go chase after the newest thing. It's like a fish going looking for it in the water. We have to go for the new thing. So RPA, you asked about RPA, OCR, AI, and Gen AI. I think they're generally pretty well confused. And I'll say that RPA is actually quite different. Robotic process automation, for those who may not know, is really all, it's also referred to as software robotics. It uses intelligent automation technologies that perform repetitive office tasks, you know, of human workers. So it extracts data, it fills in forms, it moves files, things of that nature. It combines APIs and UIs to integrate and perform tasks between enterprise and productivity application, really. Let's actually talk about, you asked, how's it different than AI? So they're actually frequently mistaken, but very, very different. AI, I would say, it combines cognitive automation, machine learning, natural language processing, large language, what do you call it, platforms. It has hypothesis and reasoning and analysis. RPA is actually really process-driven. This is really a critical difference. So AI is data-driven. RPA bots really follow processes defined by an end user. And AI bots use machine learning to recognize different patterns in data, and in particular, large unstructured data, right? And it learns it over time. So maybe I'll put it differently. AI is intended to simulate human intelligence, and RPA really is just replicating human-directed tasks. Okay, now we got that down. So what is Gen AI? Gen AI is, and I think in the world of, let's think about procurement that you asked about software, right? Because that is what we're here for, is AI could do different thinking, different tasks. It could have workflows. It could do interesting things that really reduce the need. And we'll get hopefully to this part of the conversation later. The requirement for headcount, because it could help automate and do things that would provide thinking and cognition. Gen AI actually is the ability to, as the name literally says, generate. It's to generate content. So think about the very good industry analyst over at Kearney, Dr. Eloise Epkin, I think everybody knows, really said about a year, a little more, about probably 13, 14 months ago at a Procure Tech Founders Circle meeting, said, I'm not going to follow and track CLM and evaluate CLM packages anymore. And to put that on hold for the time being, because Gen AI is actually the ability to create a contract from scratch. And I don't need a legal department. I could like a ChatGPT or a Google Bard or whatever your technology of choice is for Gen AI. It's literally creating content for you. And that is going to materially and fundamentally has changed the game for the entire CLM industry. Now, shameless plug, Raindrop uses a Gen AI to do contract creation. Okay, call me if you're interested. I'll talk to you. But what's important is that moving from this fixed setup, I have option one, option two, option three, and the human has to go and select those things to plug it in to actually do contract creation and do artificial intelligence. It allows me, the Gen AI actually allows it to think and do all the contract creation in the CLM world for me, but I don't need a human to do it. Now, we could talk about consistency, machine learning, and ensuring you get the right product. I'm going off track a little bit to your question, but I hope that touches on what RPA is. And we did talk about OCR. Well, I will talk about OCR. OCR really is just old school technology where literally the software is going to read fixed set of character structures to say, okay, this tells me that's what this is. And I'm going to go put those into this field. Now, whether or not it's accurate, whether or not it is refining the data, whether or not it actually can, it cannot do any construction. It cannot do any generating of anything. It is literally going to look at, and it's one of the older technologies, optical character recognition. Some of our competitors may use old school OCR, and then they have to go and lay something on top of that to actually go make value out of pulling that OCR into putting it into metadata fields so it becomes usable.
That's awesome. So with that answer then, I'm perhaps a little bit confused around source to pay is typically a repetitive process in most instances. So I would, looking at it from the outside in, I would say, well, surely the most appropriate technology let's say procure to pay is perhaps more accurate. In procure to pay is probably going to be RPA, right? Because, you know, you have a very predictable workflow and process in most cases. So we're seeing a lot of procurement tech providers in the procure to pay, source to pay space, and now in this whole intake space as well, claiming that their solution is AI driven. So if you're a potential buyer of software, how should you go about interrogating this claim really to get a proper understanding of what tech is under the hood? Because everyone seems to be saying that their solution is AI driven these days.
Yeah, I think most people are you know, it's greenwashing. Right. Okay. Yes. We actually are helping to reduce carbon emissions. Just don't pay attention to the smokestacks on the right side. You know, the whole greenwashing thing turned into, now that of course we had every hot technology comes along. And I think we've seen enough articles on this topic. And now it's AI washing. Well, of course we implement AI, integrate AI. Well, that is likely suspect and perhaps at best. I think you're smart, and to answer the question more direct, is your smart buyer is going to look at maybe perhaps some of the age of some of the providers' technologies. And if you're a 15, 20, 25, 30-year-old technology solution, and many of them are, I won't name them, you are not going to really be driven with AI. It's really going to be, you know, some of these other providers are building even the originals on, you know, Ruby on Rails solution. If you find a latest gen technology, I don't care if it's point solution, I don't care if it's a full suite like Raindrop. If it's modern, it likely will have been built out of AI from the start. And I will tell you, if you think about something like, if I'm a savvy buyer, I would ask, what platform are you writing on? Now, Raindrop were built on top of Google GCP. Google probably has more AI and machine learning capabilities because they've only seen billions of documents, right? Than probably any other solution on earth. So the savvy buyer will be able to understand that and say, yes, okay, they really probably do have an artificial intelligence capability. probably from scratch where they're built. And the question is then, how can I leverage that to solve my business challenge? But if I look at older technology packages, I would ask the question of, demonstrate several different examples of where AI is. Let's say I'm looking for a payables module and I want to get a new payables solution for some reason. That's great. I would ask a question. If a supplier emails me invoice, what happens to that invoice? How is it captured? And you could tell me, well, OCR, okay, that's, then you know it's old and it doesn't have AI. If you're saying to me, okay, it's going to capture it, the OCR is going to fill in, a human's going to go have intervention and have to fill in some other cells, it's absolutely not AI. If you say that the document's going to get captured and there's no OCR, and it's really just true AI, which is OCR and steroids and even more, it will be able to parse all the metadata from the document. It will put it into the correct field. It will actually channel them saying, okay, this net 30 term, you know what? The contract we have an agreement with you is actually net 45, tying it back to some other solution. And it has the smart to know this. And so I guess it's really a question of who the buyer is and what business problems they're trying to solve. And then just having the wherewithal to look at and say, you know what? This is perhaps an older technology. My expectation may be measured, but I just need to know the right questions to ask.
That's a great example that you picked up actually with the contract. So as whereas historically then it would just compare the payment terms on the PO with the payment terms on the invoice. And it would put it a little bit like when you put your bag through the security scanner in the airport and it sends it to one side saying, okay, there's something wrong with this. AI is able to then pull in the data from the contract and extract that clause in the contract where it stipulates payment terms to understand, well, okay, who is right? And to be able to then, and I guess perhaps the newest generation is even then able to push back to the supplier and it with an automated message and say, you know, hey, our contract states this, your invoice is not compliant.
Was that a shameless plug for Raindrop because that's what we do?
I didn't know that actually. So most organizations beyond what we see in the procurement world, and you know, you're party to this as well, there are a handful of pace-setting enterprises who are always the speakers at the conferences that have adopted a digital-first strategy and have got really visionary CPOs. But if we look beyond that sort of early stage of the bell curve, let's be honest, most organizations are still struggling with the basics, right? Paying suppliers on time, not losing invoices, getting PO confirmations, you know, or changes to prices or delivery dates or quantities and getting that to sync with what they've got in their ERP system. So walk me through some of the ways, some of the practical ways that a modern S2P suite, as you say, like Raindrop, that's been built from the ground up on new technology, should be able to add that value. Now, how can we reduce unnecessary waste and administrative busy work that the vast majority of procurement departments are still having issues with?
I'm going to take you actually one wider than that, because you actually just frameworked a procurement department. I'm going to tell you actually the entire source to settle side, rather than shared services. And you've worked in procurement long enough, and you've worked with having to settle up with the account payable department that says, hey, James, do we really buy 17 tons of stamped aluminum parts? You know what I'm getting with this. I think the basic blocking and tackling at many companies just isn't done in an optimal fashion. There are absolutely those who are at the top of the curve and do things very well. And then there's this CPO that comes into a new organization and says, you know what? I just got to get the basics right. I have to get my workflows and approval routing and going to different organizations for requisition approval and getting POs out. And I have to have integrations into my ERP system of choice. I have to have an interface for my supplier marketplace to be able to go and submit their invoices or get their purchase orders there. Or I could just send them so sourcing events, RFX events or reverse auctions there. I have a communication ability. I think the basic blocking and tackling is something that if I'm a new CPO, even if I'm a long-term procurement leader, I would look at saying is, am I, number one, and it's a question I think everyone's going to be asked if they haven't already been 100 times in their career, if you're leading an organization, how are you going to help me reduce my OPEX run rate of my expense to the company? And I mean, in other words, do I have too many headcount? Do I have the wrong processes? Are things manual? How do I build efficiencies? And there's a million consulting firms out there that are just designed around creating efficiency and automation, and then telling you what you probably already know and charge you a lot of money to do that. I think the first thing I might do is be as a procurement leader, I would probably go somewhere to learn about what is on offer and then understand how it can help solve my business need. I think most procurement people understand in the shared services world what their business needs are. It's just a question how it details specifically to my company and my company's need. So if I would, I would probably start with going to procurementsoftware.site. That's a shameless plug. Go to James' website where there's over 400 some odd software packages out there that can help solve from really startup on through enterprise required needs to know and help us. And these are point solutions and they're all very good solutions. I know you probably vetted many of them out, if not all of them. So folks, please go out there. There's a budget to be solved for everybody on James' website. So with that being said, what you could do is go take a look at what's on offer and understanding how it helps solve your business problems. I would probably start with some of the basic blocking and tackling. You know, we could talk about things like political capital that you acquire. So things when you require political capital, you're going to say, I could solve a business problem, okay, that is to do, let's say, sourcing events. Great. That's going to affect my 5 or my 10 procurement people in my department. Or maybe I'm the only guy and I'm the only one that uses it. That's fine. But my company has 1,000, 5,000, 10,000, 100,000 employees. So where is really the touch point happening? Where do you have the chance to risk more political capital loss? And the answer is in the masses with the people, right? So you need to satisfy that problem first, which is, shocker of shockers, how Coupa became so successful. I'm going to give you an easy way to go order something and get it delivered to you and go pay the bill. And why is that? Because everybody touches that. But you know, one thing that a lot of companies don't do well on the technology side, sourcing events. Okay, because there might be only be 5 people touching that. And you know what? 99.9% of the people in your company don't even care about that solution because they'll never see it. So I would say is make sure you're able to placate the immediate needs of the business. So it might be, I need catalogs. I need a requisition system. I need some ways to help build efficiency in my organization. Now, I'm going to then maybe I'll take a look upstream. I can take a look at supplier relationship manager. I could have a marketplace that allows my suppliers to come in and I communicate and collaborate with them. Okay, that's something that may be out of the realm of the regular everyday employee, but it adds a lot of value to the company. You can move to sourcing events and automation. Though if I have, you know, different commodity managers, I may not need as many commodity managers, but I can go out and automate some sourcing events and get cost reduction. Or I can do, if I have a payable solution, we just talked about that a couple minutes back. If I have 5, 10 people sitting in my accounts payable department and I get a payables automation solution, for example, like Raindrop, you could say, hey, I don't need 5 or 10 people. I can have automation where it's doing 75, 85% of my invoices that are coming in from suppliers, automates it, moves it away from the verification stack over to the paid stack. So it automatically is matching against your POs or non-PO or whatever the case may be. And it has the GL string and cost centers already attached to that person and just pay the bill, right? Don't sit in the reconciliation stack. And so I could do 10,000 invoices per person per month with an automation solution. Well, guess what? I don't need 5 people. I could have 1 and 1.5. When that one person's out, the half person can help manage the rest of the process as it automatically goes. So long-winded answer is way of saying is find out what business challenges you're trying to solve, what political capital you have available to you to try to solve them. And then, of course, obviously, you have to find out, do you have money to go solve those issues? And if the answer is, you know, one is different than the other, hey, I would have all these issues and I have no money. Well, then you have a political capital issue. You need to go talk to your CFO and say, if you're asking me to solve this problem, here's how I could do it. Here's the different solutions I can solve business challenges. Here's the timeline I could go do that on within a month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, or some of the larger packages might be up to 16 months. But here's the investment dollars I require in the headcount. Now, those are the solutions that folks need to go look at. And what I would probably do is go look at what AI packages do I have available out there that can help create reduced run costs of my business in the form of headcount, process, automation. And then you're talking about soft cost savings like no duplication of payments, no fraudulent payments, no payments, no late payments. If you're just talking about the payable side, but also requisition. So I have one person who's approved. And if a person's out, it automatically goes to their boss after X number of cycles. So there are different ways we can build efficiency that are kind of more soft cost.
Based on that answer you gave me, I'm going to go slightly off piste here. But do you think that now with the latest generation of AI, having one of these new generation suites could potentially then convince the CFO that they no longer need, you know, the salary arbitrage BPO in a best cost country to manage accounts payable? Do you think that could, with a couple of workers to monitor what the AI is doing, make BPOs obsolete in terms of doing transactional shared services work?
Well, I think it's pretty straightforward to suggest that absolutely. Now, you know, the BPO headcount arbitrage play, which is, and I've done that in my procurement career, right? And just for the folks who don't know me, I come from a 30 plus year procurement career running different and working different teams, mostly in technology companies. And I did actually help move one of the companies I worked at. Hey, we're all located domestically here in the San Francisco Bay Area. So all of a sudden, hey, let's go move them over to offshore over in India and do our strategic sourcing there. And we hired a whole bunch of people over there instead to do that work. And you sit there and you say, you know what? If I can do automation, does it mean that I'm not going to do labor arbitrage, BPO plays? It doesn't mean that. It just means I don't necessarily need as much. So the question to each company is, what's the value that you have to every last dollar? And if the answer, or euro or pound or whatever your currency is, you have to ask, that efficiency that I'm gaining, is it worth, if I interject, let's call it a unit of currency, a dollar of automation capabilities, could I save $2 of human BPO labor over here? And if that's the case, then absolutely I should consider that. And I think, you know, we always talk about partnering inside your company. The CPO really should be partnering with finance, CFO office and the CFO organization to say, hey, let's build models here and try to figure this out. I know in my BPO, my labor arbitrage play that I spent X number of dollars per year to support my needs. But if I invest a dollar of automation technology here and I train my people right, okay, that's a huge thing that I think people don't talk about. Without training, they're not going to be successful. I train people right and the technology does as advertised, then I don't need to have the $2 of labor over here. I can invest 50 cents over here and I can go and reduce it in a 4X ROI. And that's an annual recurring benefit. So you are right. Absolutely. This will help reduce the need for BPO. I don't think it will absolutely ever get rid of BPO. As a matter of fact, it might even enable it.
Interesting. I'm going to ask you this anyway, but I think I know the answer. Should businesses get source to pay right first before they look at what I call the sexy stuff, you know, like automated negotiations and AI guided category strategies, you know, the booths at conferences that everyone seems to swarm around?
I'll go back to my earlier comment, my dear friend. The rise of Coupa 20 years ago, 21 years ago now officially, was all about placate the masses, right? Guns and butter, feed the people, get them sated. And this is all about the political capital discussion I made earlier, right? So yes, please get your basic right, because you won't be sitting at the pyramid, at the top of the pyramid in the chair very long. It will wobble over and you will fall down if you don't make everybody happy. So you have to feed them something in order to get them. Get your basics right. Now, how do you do that? You could do that with a PR to PO system. You could have on the back end people in your procurement department doing fulfillment. You could have automation doing it. You could have e-catalog. I think we call it e-catalog, e-procurement, P2P, source to, you know, buy, whatever the case may be. There's a ton of names. All of them are wrong. All of them are right. And it doesn't even matter. What's important is that you get the capability to go give your teams a risk-controlled environment where you know who and what is being bought, when, and that it gets delivered. And you can actually go ahead and analyze all the data that you get so you have actionable intelligence on the dollars that are flowing out of your company. Yes, before we start talking about going around to all the conferences and all the professional conference attendees out there that say, oh, I was looking at this booth and I was looking at that booth and do all this sexy stuff. But you know what? Not all the sexy stuff gets funding by the CFO. You want to do a sourcing event automation? That's great. But guess what? You have 3 headcount already. You're going to give me one of those headcount back? Ooh, you know what? Maybe all of a sudden that's not a, you know, a super attractive thing. I want to get rid of, you know, John Doe and tell him he has to lose his job because I'm going to buy widgets instead digitally. So that's a tough conversation. I think that people have to wait and say, hey, you know what? Next annual operating plan, I'm going to go put in the budget for a tool that does the sourcing automation event. And you can say, here's the ROI, and I'll work with the supplier to go ahead and drive an ROI that hopefully the offices, the CFO and the budget gets approved for me to go help purchase that and liberate perhaps my existing team to go do things that are more strategic. And I know we talk about that as a cliche, but it is true.
Yeah. And it's not just that, is it? It's just being able to hire and retain these days, you know, especially in more developed markets, being able to hire and retain the staff members that you need to do these transactional jobs, because you know younger millennials and Gen Z or Gen Z, they don't want to do that work, do they? Let's be honest. It's if you've got Candice who's in her 50s that's been in that role for 20 years, you know, that generation is still happy doing that work to some degree, but the younger folks don't want to do it.
Amen. It's incredibly true. There's been thousands of conversations had about how difficult it is to find and retain, grow and train and keep and really retain top talent. And I think we're always going to be in that vicious cycle, by the way.
So apart from the headcount, which we've touched on quite a lot, specifically relating to AI, what does that bring to the table in the source to pay space that RPA and OCR have hitherto, you know, not been able to nail?
Well, it's really the next generation of technology. And there will be, you know, we're always waiting for the next thing. We thought we were ready at Nirvana. And guess what? There will be another Nirvana coming in another probably 5, 6, 10 years or whatever it is. And we'll have another, you know, a technology wave to say, oh, wow, blockchain was the end all be all of smart contracts. Well, how much are you hearing about that today? Like, not at all. And then AI comes and Gen AI. And I'm not even going to track and go ahead and do any reviews and evaluate any CLM solutions because Gen AI is going to make them antiquated and your legal department antiquated. Okay, well, what's going to come in another 5 years? And there will be something else. So, you know, it's not as though RPA was supposed to do that. And pro tip, it did. And that's why we have automation. But those people were, look, with any type of role that you're in, if you're in the tactical business, repetitive process business, you will get automated. You come from actually, obviously, your background is a Jaguar Land Rover in procurement in the supply chain side. Those people who were building cars, putting frames together, welding them, they haven't had a job in 50 years. All that's been automated. And it's only going to get more automated as time goes by. And so we're no different on the procurement side, right? It's the low kind of labor, tactical, operational. Let's use one example. Two-way and three-way matching. All of that could be completely automated. So my shipping department, I could have one guy there doing receiving boxes and go ahead and key in a couple of things. So, you know, OCR is not going to be able to do that. RPA, it's a completely different product and process, would not have any play in. The AI would be able to say, you know what? I received it. I bought something. I send it to the supplier sends it to the customer. The customer gets three things. They get the product, they get the invoice, and they get the shipping document. That can be digitally sent. Where that your AI is going to be able to recognize documents. It's going to be able to say, here's what you got. I did this, the match against the receipt, two-way, three-way. Yes, go ahead and pay the bill. And it's going to submit it for payment. The payment automation is going to happen against the order form. It's going to have already had the approvals from prior, and it's going to go send that payment directly out, your ACH transfer into the supplier's checking account 2 days late or same day processing. All of that is moved to automation. And AI has really helped driving that capability. That's not an RPA, and that's definitely nothing to do with OCR.
Yeah, it's an exciting time, isn't it? If you can make the most of it, certainly is. So just conscious of the time, Ward, and as we look to wrap this up, I've got a couple of quick fire questions just to close out, just to get to know the personal side of you a little bit more. So first one, if you could live anywhere in the world, where would it be?
If you ask my wife, it would be the mountains of Austria where she's from.
Ah, okay. Yeah, it's a beautiful part of the world, especially for skiing. And then the last one, and you've got to keep this one clean. What would be your guilty pleasure of choice? It can be absolutely anything as long as it's publishable.
Okay, this is horrible. In the US, we have really cheap beer that's been made for the last 100 years. You know, the fluffy, light golden stuff with the foamy, on top. Every now and again, I have to have in my fridge either a bottle of Miller High Life or Coors Banquet, and the US people will know that. Now, I'm a bit of a beer snob, so when that's thrown in there, people see it, they're like, oh my God, Ward, you like step down like 100 levels. But it's my guilty pleasure. I'm sorry, I have to admit that.
Yeah, we all have them.
Well, I would also say bacon. Bacon, I think, is everybody's guilty pleasure.
Yeah, but the thin, crispy stuff that you have in the States or the real thick cut that we have like for full English breakfast?
Well, go to the right store, you'll get everything you need. I love the question. No, I would say my shameless guilty pleasure is having a cheap beer in the fridge now and again.
Awesome. And final question, if anyone would like to learn a little bit more about Raindrop, where should we send them?
Please have them reach out at raindrop.com, quite simply. You can always reach me directly. I'm super easy to find on LinkedIn, of course, under my name. You can email me. Anybody can email me anytime. I'm very simple to find, ward@raindrop.com. Please give a shout. Please give a call to learn more. We actually are a full suite procure-to-pay solution, enterprise spend management platform, everything including catalogs and requisitions and automation on sourcing events, contract lifecycle management, contract creation, contract redlining, supply chain, supplier relationship management package as well. So really everything you need to help run the outflow of funds from your company, Raindrop is the new solution out there. We've been around for just about 5 years at this point in time. We come from a procurement practitioner and leadership background, so we speak your language and would love to talk to you.
Awesome. And we will link to that in the show notes as well. And you can also reach out to me if anyone would like to book a demo, because I'm also a partner of Raindrop. So yeah, awesome to speak to you again, Ward. It's always great catching up with you, and yeah, hopefully catch up again soon.
Mate, always a pleasure. Great to see you. Welcome back to Europe. I know you had a wonderful time overseas during the winter and stayed in warm weather. Happy birthday. And I think by the time this actually gets published, it might be around my birthday coming up. So this is a great podcast and I appreciate it. It's great to see you again.
So that was Ward from Raindrop. And yeah, I appreciate all of you as well who listen to the show. If you do and you like what you hear, please do take a little bit of time to give us a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever indeed you may listen to us. It does help us to reach more people and to get word of mouth. So appreciate that if you can take the time. Until next week, we will catch you again. Same time, same place. Until then, take care and bye for now.
Cheers.